Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impoga. This evening we'll talk about the idea of disregarding of constitutions in the Great Lakes region of Africa. And with us tonight is a regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us by phone from Durban in South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and your listeners.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me, as always.
You're welcome. Also joining us from Nairobi, Kenya, is Isaac Ongiri. Isaac is a senior political reporter at the Daily Nation newspaper. Good evening, Isaac.
Good evening.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. As I said, our topic tonight, we're going to look at the idea of disregarding constitutions, especially in the Great Lakes region of Africa. Many people believe that the repeated and synchronized violation of constitutional term limits, for instance, by heads of state of in African Great Lakes region, threatens democracy, freedom, and stability. And respecting constitutional terms is a great step towards implementing the rule of law. Many political observers believe that respecting of African constitutions is a stream of laws of the nation and the compass for nation building, rather than decorative documents held hostage by African presidents and altered at will for personal gain. Gentlemen, let me start with Suleiman. What your general take on the trend in that region for disregarding constitutions and doing away with most of the provisions that matter?
I think we have got two issues here. We have got, first of all, the violation of constitutions by those in power, trying to prolong themselves in power, i.e. by removing of the term limits which many countries had adopted and put enshrined into their constitutions. In the Great Lakes region, it seems it has become a norm that many countries now, many of these leaders are not ready to leave tomorrow. They are ready to stay until death. And even at death, they are ready to hand over to their immediate family members. That is one part. The second part is the violation of the constitution themselves in other means, using the constitutions themselves to suppress any movement towards opposing them. Almost the entire region at the moment is restless because of the way the leaders are deciding to use the constitutions and some of the laws which they enacted. Some of them, they were enacted for other purposes, but now they are being used to suffocate and to imprison and suppress political opposition. For example, the terrorism laws, which are being used all around the Great Lakes region. So those are the two ways which I think they are affecting the region, and they are making the region very restless and almost going into war if we look into the region, as we shall see later.
Isaac, what your take on this?
What is happening in Africa is that many new Africans, especially the new African leaders, and even those old ones, those who've been there since independence, or those who've been there since their countries attained independence, like in Zimbabwe, and new ones like the ones who've taken over countries like Kenya, are keen to ensure that they have full control and overwhelming presiding authority over their citizens. And so that they can at least attain maximum wealth. Of course, it is all about controlling wealth, dominating people, and ensuring that people live in fear. I think that's why most of these leaders try their best to disengage from constitutionalism. Like in Kenya, of course, we've seen attempts to try to muzzle independent institutions. Previously, the Kenya Police Service is something that was expected to be an independent authority under the Inspector General of Police. But after the new regime came in, they made attempts and actually even succeeded and trying to change the law so that the presidency or the office of the president or the personality of the president would have authority over the Inspector General of Police, something that has really now made the police to look very partisan here.
I see. Ben, talking of the role of the institutions like the police, in countries like Uganda, for instance, the police now is run by the army, and you can't tell the difference between the police and the army, Suleiman.
Yes, not only as the army, but it's almost a personal militia for the president. They are no longer looking at the interests of the nation. They are no longer looking at the interests of the people. They are just like wild bulldogs which are there to bite at the order of the president. So the way my brother said in Kenya, it is even worse in Uganda because we know the Ugandans no longer have a police which protects the people. They beat, they shoot with live ammunition at any will, or they can even hire just thugs to beat the people openly in their front to punish and torture people in their presence. So I think many of the institutions, they have been twisted to suit the whims of the leaders in this very region. So at the moment, I think the country is at crossroads because, as my brother said, it's not only the police, but even other institutions of law, like the judiciary. In countries like Uganda, DRC, Burundi, the judiciary has been sucked in. Mm-hmm. They are also now totally partisan, so much that the people now are even lost. They don't know where to turn.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, to what extent are the other organs of the state in these countries, like parliament, for instance, complicit in the perpetuation of leaders in power?
You know, the Kenyan parliament is dominated by the Jubilee coalition. After the general elections in 2013, Jubilee won an overwhelming majority in the National Assembly and the Senate. And due to that, they have been able to control control the National Assembly and dictate terms in the National Assembly over the opposition. So because of this, they have been able to change some of the key legislations at will, like that the one on the police, on the running of the Kenya Police Service, and the inspector, the appointment of the Inspector General of Police. They have also the other day they attempted to amend the constitution to give the president powers or overwhelming presiding powers over the appointment of the Chief Justice. And you know, we have the Judicial Service Commission that is supposed to actually, according to the Constitution, to take charge of the appointment of the Chief Justice. Mm-hmm. This has been happening because of the overwhelming majority enjoyed by the ruling coalition. And, of course, the appetite this government has in making Kenya a country controlled by individuals associated with the armed forces has been high, because we saw early last year the appointment of the CS, or the Cabinet Secretary for Interior, who is a former Army General, taking over the helm of the Ministry of Interior. Of course, that is something that was to be expected. But even in the civilian institutions like the Immigration Department, the president appointed a former army general to take over. And at the moment, even the police spokesperson, I mean, the government spokesperson is a former senior police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So the director general of the National Security Intelligence in Kenya is also a military officer. This actually will show you that there has been a desire by the government to ensure that key military personalities, individuals with a serious security background, take over key institutions, which has been seen as an attempt to militarize, mm-hmm. or to make the country a military state. or something like that.
I see. This seems to be a trend, what Isaac is referring to, across many countries, where you find members of parliament, for as long as they are given a leeway to raise their pay, they can sacrifice any other articles of the constitution. Some presidents now can have cabinet of up to men as 100 ministers. They can do as well as they wish. So, Suleiman, these are people, I think, who are bought off, sort of.
In a nutshell, Douglas, I think now what is happening in East Africa is that Uganda has become a template. All what my brother is talking about in Kenya has been happening in Uganda for a long time. Uganda is a military state. Number two, the politics in Uganda, like in all these other East African countries, is over-commercialized. Because of the commercialization of politics, we have got a new generation of opportunists. Many of the politicians now in politics are not bothered about building countries. They're about enriching themselves. Mm-hmm. When you look in a country like Uganda, it's very difficult to find an MP who is not an opportunist. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Ugandan parliament has got more beggars than the beggars on the streets, because these guys are not there to build the country. They corrupt their way to get elected, and when they reach, at every instance, they have to be given money to pass the laws. And all the laws which they are passing are being passed to make sure that they make the president stronger and stronger, to control all the institutions. The way my brother said, you find the ministries, all the sensitive ministries, are headed by Mr. Museveni's friends, Mr. Museveni's relatives. Can you imagine the president appointing his own wife, who does not even have a verified education degree, to be a minister of education, his son, a commander in the army? So in the meantime, the members of parliament are there. The constitution allows a limited number of members of ministers, 42 only. They are stretching it to 80. They just accept it. Whatever Museveni wants is done the way he wants when the members of parliament are there. So the MPs are not only in Kenya, but they are also in Uganda, they are in DRC, they are in Southern Sudan, they are in Rwanda, they are in Burundi. The whole region is infested with political opportunists. So as of now, I don't think the citizens have a lot to expect from the current leadership which we have.
I see. Isaac, there was a controversy about he referred to MPs, the controversy about the MPs in Kenya raising their salary beyond what was reasonable. I think that one cooled off now.
Of course, at the moment, we really do not have something like that. I mean, the issue of salary increment has been a big issue in Kenya. Members of parliament in Kenya earn more than any other parliamentarians actually in the world. And that was very controversial last year. At the moment, I think it's a matter that is now under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And just talking about the police force, Douglas, you know, in Kenya, the Kenyan police force at the moment is the most well-equipped one. They recently acquired a very sophisticated arsenal, just like the Ugandan neighbors, probably from the same supplier that they've been using actually to deal with the dissenting opposition supporters who've been calling for reforms at the Electoral Commission. But what is amazing is that while the government is spending billions of shillings in equipping the police, the welfare of the police has not really been looked at, and the Kenyan police are living in some of the most squalid structures. Over and above the fact that they own some of the most deadliest arsenals around the region at the moment.
Yeah, this is what's saddening, because if you go across those countries, the budget for the maintaining of these coercive forces, the police, which have become militarized, is so high, and then the cost of living of the people who work there is absurd. Like, you find there are some of them, even their housing is not adequate enough. Some of them are in they're in need. Well, let's take a short break here, and we'll be back to continue our discussion of disregarding of constitutions in the Great Lakes region of Africa. Welcome back. In case you're just tuning now, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America series here in Washington. Our topic tonight is disregarding of constitutions in the Great Lakes region of Africa. Our panelists are Isaac Ongiri, senior political reporter, the Daily Nation newspaper in Nairobi, and Suleiman Mgula, a South African-based independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Isaac, we were talking about how most of these parliaments across many countries there, the ruling parties seem to have strong majorities in parliament. But there's some observers point out that that is a result of having biased or inefficient or puppet electoral commissions. There's been a tussle in Kenya about the constitution of the Kenya's electoral and border commission. How far has it gone now?
The controversy is on. This evening, the opposition just made announcements that they may have to resume street protests as early as at Monday next week if agreements or talks on this particular issue do not proceed. So, on this, you know, there are about eight members of parliament who are currently being detained by police, accused of having made statements associated with the hate in various events that they held over the past over the past week. And the opposition is now threatening also that, of course, these are all associated with the clamor for reform at the Electoral Commission, that if these key opposition members of parliament are not released by end of business tomorrow, then they will resume street protests as well. The debate on electoral commission is on in Kenya. Of course, the diplomats have been making efforts to negotiate, to try to harmonize the feelings between both the opposition and the government side, so that they are able to agree on what to discuss when teams finally come to meet. The opposition, of course, are demanding for the total overhaul of the entire electoral commission, but the government side is only willing to have the talk restricted to the removal of the nine commissioners. So what is clear that now is that somehow there is an agreement that there is need to have some change at the leadership or at the commission level at the Electoral Commission of Kenya.
I see. Suleiman, talking of political and electoral reforms, this has been also a common theme. Some countries, most countries there are not very lucky. Maybe Kenya will succeed this time. This is the problem they have in DR Congo right now. It's the problem they had in Uganda before the last general election, where the opposition were calling for electoral reforms, political reforms. That never happened. Of course, tainting the election from the very beginning. What do you think about this lack of reforms? But maybe the incumbents don't want reforms. So
no, it has become a culture. They don't, and some of them have lost even elections. In Uganda, Museveni lost elections. In Zanzibar, Seif Sharif Hamid won elections. In December 2016, Kabila is supposed to step down, but there seems to be no preparations for elections for December. Nkurunziza is illiterate there. Mugafuli has also banned the demonstrations. In all these countries, demonstrations are not allowed. Yes. Kenya, demonstrations are banned. Tanzania, demonstrations are banned. Burundi, demonstrations are banned. DRC, you go for demonstration, we are going for death. In Uganda, demonstrations are banned. That one alone shows you that there is something wrong within the leadership in the region. The constitution, the laws, with the puppet parliament have become tools of operation. They are now using the law. For example, in Uganda, the opposition leader, Dr. Besigye, is in prison. He has been virtually in prison since the elections were held. For what reason? Nothing. But they are using the existing laws to detain him. The way they have used the existing laws to detain the opposition MPs in Kenya now who are in prison. So in every country, they are using the very laws which are available with the connivance of the puppet parliament, which they have corruptly got elected into power, which means it is a mafia state now. Now it's just like a mafia. They are just like mafias governing this Great Lakes region.
Okay, now, gentlemen, some people have said. If you don't respect the constitution or constitutional term limits, can you in the same arrangement have the rule of law, good governance, and build strong democratic institutions? Isaac?
It is very difficult for individuals who do not respect the constitutional term limits to oversee a government under the rule of law, because, you know, these constitutional term limits are normally part of the national laws, and if an individual does not respect or does not have honor of that particular clause, then it is expected that they open up to autocracy and end up subjecting their citizens and countrymen to a leadership that has no respect for human rights, for example. Because, you know, it is after this that you'll have people protesting or demonstrating or trying to show dislike for such kind of actions. And then we end up in a situation that the country now, we are not able to control what may come up after such actions by such leaders like we saw in Burundi last time.
Suleiman, and these are the very same leaders who, upon taking office, swear to uphold the constitution.
Obviously, Douglas, and what they have forgotten that we are in the 21st century. While such totalitarianism worked in the 19th and 20th century, in the 21st century, we are in a globalized world. It is unsustainable what they are trying to do. That is why you see, as my brother has said, the Kenyan government banned the demonstration. CORD has already announced they are going to resume demonstration. In Tanzania, they have banned the demonstration. They are going to resume demonstration. In Burundi, they try to suppress them. People are dying. In Uganda, demonstrations are banned. People now are resorting to arms. So eventually, either there will be violence. That is why most of the constitutions allow, they give it as a right. The freedom of assembly is enshrined almost in every constitution. For any president to feel that he can take it the way he likes it, he's just cheating himself. Sooner or later, all these countries are going to be restless and they'll be under violence unless they turn around their approach now.
Talking of being restless, Isaac, should they be concerned? Because history has shown that those who cling to power become tyrants and abuse that power. And when they leave, their societies fall into chaos, and like we've seen some of the countries, including Libya. Should they be more concerned that these term limits should be enforced?
The issue of term limits is very important, and I agree that they should actually be enforced as demanded by various constitutions of this country. An attempt to extend the term limit is normally met with actually maybe a brutal response from the other side, because it's an attempt to muzzle the democratic rights of citizens of such countries, like we've seen in Uganda, where this has been a perpetual habit in that country. We've also seen that in, of course, in the region that is in Burundi, and of course in the Sudan, in Sudan. So this is something that should be really looked at. It is not good. It should not be encouraged. It should not be accepted.
We're now, it's ironical that we're talking about term limits, constitutional term limits, but there are some countries that have already succeeded in getting rid of them. Take, for instance, Uganda, Suleiman, and Rwanda to a large extent. Rwanda, because if you allow somebody to some 15 years or so ahead, that's as good as saying, well, maybe no term limits at all. Should that be worrying?
It is worrying. The biggest problem is that they have those who have managed to remove the term limits, they have done it so because they have used coercive means, and they have been able to bend the constitutions using the new generation, as I've said, of political opportunists who are so many in the region. That is why they have succeeded. Now, the saddest part of it is that while many citizens have tried to resist, they have not met with the support from the international community. The international community has been in conspiracy with all these rotten regimes. They are the ones who are financing them. That is why you see others like Burundi, the Rwanda, they are following in regimes like those ones of Uganda. Because while, for example, in Tanzania, the Millennium account, they have suspended $720 million. In Uganda, the elections were cheated. Museveni was able to corrupt everybody, to pour money, to rig the elections during open day, but nothing was done to him, which means what he's doing is right so long as you can do it smartly. You bend, you appoint your own chief justice, and then from that you tell them, no, if you lose, go to petition. Then in the petition, you have your chief justice and all the justices. They just dismiss the case, and then he continues forever and ever. And the international community continues to finance him, because without the international community financing them, maybe they will be changed. Because for the citizen, they have done what is humanly possible, but they cannot overrun the coercive machinery of these states. The way my brother said in Kenya, the police has just been armed. The police and the army in Uganda are triple armed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in a word or two, just one word, out of time. Isaac, if you don't follow the constitution and there are no term limits, does that open the door to instability? Yes or no?
Yes, if you don't follow the constitution and there are no term limits, of course, instability will creep in.
Suleiman?
Burkina Faso was taken by the people. Egypt, Tunisia, you either change willingly or the young people of this continent will change you. If the young people don't, some other mature people will use gun to remove you. So the more they stay, it is a recipe for violence. It is a recipe for the total disintegration of the state in the future.
Well, gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Isaac Ongiri, senior political reporter at the Daily Nation newspaper, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
You're welcome, as always.
Yes, our producer tonight, as usual, was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer was Justin Twites. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. You can hear this program again if you want to by going to the internet and going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.